Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning, 13 minutes past 9 o'clock on this second day of February. Listening to the Big Takeover, who will be playing at the Linda on Friday, the 9th of February, and we'll be hearing them as our bumper music today in and out. So thank you very much for that. You can find out more information by going to thelinda.org. Well, good morning, everybody. It is Friday. The day has finally come. And well, I don't know where you were. It was very weird for me this morning. I got out. I think, Aaron, you can attest to this, but I got up and there was a lot of snow on the ground.
Surprisingly large amounts. And a lot of ice on the car.
And then when you got into Albany, it just nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. It was the Caribbean on Northern Boulevard.
Very, very nice. So but here we are, wherever you are and wherever, whatever your snow or ice situation is, we hope that you're safe and sound and all is good. With that said, good morning, everybody. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get started. We have a lot of work to do, and we'll tell you all about it in just a second. Aaron Pisidia is here. He is a professor at Siena College, where he teaches economics, and we're thrilled to have him. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you, as always. Judith Enck is a former administrator for the EPA, and we always love when she joins us each and every Friday. Good morning, Judith.
Love to be here.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Before I go any further and tell you how wonderful our listeners are and how close we are, Joe, you and I have been talking already this morning in excited fashion. I want to make a correction, because yesterday I did an interview, and it was a wonderful interview with a brilliant young scholar who's going to be talking at the Searles Castle on the 10th of February, and not this weekend, but the following weekend. I gave the right date, but I said it's this weekend. It's not. I apologize, and I just want to make sure everybody knows that, because we don't want people banging on the doors of the Searles Castle.
That's correct. It's Dr. Jamal Calloway. By the way, the interview's online, so if you missed it, it's a really good one. It's incredible. It was a wonderful conversation between Alan and Jamal. Dr. Calloway will be speaking next Saturday, February 10th, at 3 o'clock at the Searles Castle in Great Barrington. And, yes, so don't miss that, the interview or the event itself. All right. Alan, let us talk a little bit of business here. As I think most people probably know, the fund drive begins on Monday, the official fund drive. Now, we've been talking about, we've been driving for a while here in getting funds, but the official fund drive will begin on Monday. With that said, we stated long ago that we had a locked box goal of $1.5 million, and the figure just handed to me, Alan, says that to meet that locked box goal is $23,520. That's how far away we are, or how close we are, to the locked box goal.
You know what's so great about that, Joe, is that once we get that, then the additional $50,000 from our wonderful friend in the Hudson Valley, that's right, folks, $50,000, which was the incentive to make this. If we could do it by the first day of the fund drive, if we can do it right now, that gets folded in, plus an additional $10,000. Who is that from, Joe?
Emily Fisher, our dear friend, Emily Fisher.
That's right. So that would be $60,000. We could do that in the next hour or so. Wouldn't it be great, everybody, if we could just, we've all been in this together, we made the station together, we have, I can't tell you how many people have called me and told me and stopped me, and the same goes with Joe and the rest of the staff. Dave Gustina was telling me the same thing. People are really excited about this. Hey, Joe, when we started, and Judith and Aaron, I wasn't really sure that we could do this. I mean, after all, it was a $2 million fund drive, and we asked to get to the 100. To the $1.5 million by the first day. And I say, well, that's a huge lift. That's $500,000. I don't know if we can do it. I said it privately, but boy, you folks have been wonderful. Right, Joe?
Absolutely. You certainly have, which means that we're just $22,815 away from our goal. So with that comes $60,000. So think about this. We have a $60,000 challenge. We'd like to do it in the next hour. Do it in the next hour. Get it done. And then, you know, not that we'll rest on our laurels, but we can breathe easy over the weekend knowing that we go in Monday, we have the money, and everything that we make over the weekend is less that we have to make during the fun drive. That's great. And but we have made the challenge, which is what we've been working so hard to do. Yes, sir.
But not so fast.
But wait, there's more.
And down will come the ball on, you know, in Times Square. Hosanna, there will be fireworks. It'll be extraordinary if we can do it right now. So let everybody do anything that they can to make us whole and bring this thing home. Bring it on home.
Well, I'll tell you, there is not a corner of this building where there is not a staff member at their desk with a sheaf of papers and logged onto their computers and ready to go and to take your phone calls. Our staff has been just remarkable throughout this entire process. We haven't brought in volunteers. It's just the staff doing it. They're taking hundreds and hundreds of calls. I think yesterday the number I read, Alan, it was something like we took 250 pledges yesterday morning.
Wow.
It was
wow.
And made over, I think, over almost $60,000. So it's really incredible. What people have done. And that's in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Alan and I were talking about this, but we had like a week's in the fun drive where we wouldn't make $60,000. And now we're doing it in an hour and a half.
Great.
So it's...
And that number, just so everybody can remember, is 1-800-323... There is that. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Or as they say in the lottery, first you got to buy the ticket. Okay, 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. We love getting them that way, too.
WAMC.org. So there are a couple ways. I mean, we've been talking about this for a little bit as far as this money. But right now, if you bring it down and you just boil it down to its simple form, we need $22,815 to make $60,000.
Yes.
That's what we need.
That's a good return on investment.
Thank you. I think it is. Yeah.
Thank God the economist is here. Even I could figure that out.
That's right. Well, it's a good feeling, but ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. If you haven't done anything yet, Teresa has been fascinated by the fact that we have 500,000 discreet listeners to this radio station every month. That's a lot of people. And all that we're asking is that everybody do something. You know, we hear on a regular basis, I mean, before I go to sleep at night, I don't know about you, Joe.
You sleep?
off and on, let's put it that way. I check the email, always a mistake.
Always a mistake.
All the sleep experts will tell you. And then, you know, there'll be like 300 people who want to tell me why Donald Trump is bad. And about three who say why he's good. So, but I try to at least read everything and get back to the ones who are, you know, deserve to get back to be gotten back to. I'm saying that in that all that has to happen now is that everybody who listens to this radio program, and it is our most popular program, the panel, if everybody were just to do one little thing, some people can do 100. As you saw, one person, extraordinary person, did 50,000. Some people do 1,000. $3 a day is $1,000. We'll do it on time. So much down, so much done. Lewis Aluminum. 1-800-323-9262.
I do want to say, Alan's absolutely right. You know, whatever we make, so if we go over the $22,000, well, we still have money to make for the fund drive, and that's less than we have to make on Monday. So just keep it coming and throw us anything you've got, and we'll be okay. It's less than we have to work on when the fund drive begins on Monday morning at 6 a.m. with Alan and Ray. Right now, $22,790 is what we need, so whatever you can do, we have an hour to do it in. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We've got all the stuff. You know, there's the blanket, there's the sweatshirt, there's the socks. You can do any one of those for $100. You can do all of them for $240. The diaper drive, all of that stuff is on the pull-down menu, as well as a volunteer will tell you about it, or a staff member in this case. However, the important thing is that we make the money, the $22,790 to get us to our lockbox goal.
Now, Joe, it's not going down that fast because we've all been following what you've been saying. We're celebrating what has happened so far. but you're only as good as your last day. And I have to say, I'm a little worried here. I am. I'm always worried, but as you know, but it would be great if we could just finish this thing off. And if somebody out there would say, okay, you're right. I haven't done it yet. I want to do it. There will be some people who've come back for the third time and all of that, and we love them for that. But in the end, there are plenty of people. If everybody who listens to this radio station would say, hey, you know what? I know I'm in it too. I know they're talking to me, and we are. We love you, and we trust you, and we know we trust you, and we know you'll do what's right. As Stephen's mother often said, you know, you have to do what's right, Stephen. And I would say, well, how does he know what's right? And she'd say, he knows.
So do what Stephen's mother tells you to do. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We're going to talk about some subjects here, but right now we need $22,000 to get to our goal. We have an hour to do it in. Everybody on a phone, 1-800-323-9262, or you can do it just while listening to us. You don't have to miss a word. Go to WAMC.org, WAMC.org.
As we often say, dive, dive, dive.
Indeed. All right. We have our wonderful panel here, so let's talk to them and talk to them about what we brought them in here to talk about. We're going to start off with the FBI memo. What we hear today is that it will be released. The president cleared the way for the secret memo's release. This has been a very controversial issue on Capitol Hill all week. The White House signaled on Thursday that President Trump would allow a secret memo written by Republican congressional aides to be made public despite fears from some in the West Wing that it could prompt the resignation of the FBI Director Christopher Wray and lead to another crisis for the administration. Mr. Trump, who had a brief window to block the memo's disclosure on national security grounds, was expected to tell Congress on Friday that he had no objections and would probably not request that any of its substance be redacted, according to a senior administration official. Then the president also tweeted this morning, made several tweets and saying that basically his concern was the FBI was run by a lot of Democratic sympathizers. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Is that the sum and substance
That's
of that
something
tweet?
You don't hear a lot.
And you know what? They must be feeling a lot of pressure over there in the White House because they've changed the narrative. The narrative was, you know, this is the deep state. The FBI, the Justice Department, his own FBI, by the way, and his own Justice Department. But now they're saying most of the FBI people are very good people. So there must be a little bit of worrying about the fact that he's attacking the FBI, which he's also saying is responsible for making sure people don't blow things up in the United States. A little bit of a pulling the rug out from under them, isn't it?
Well, and you made this point yesterday, Alan, but the FBI director that he named, Christopher Wray, is now the guy who is saying, you know what, enough. You do this, and I may have to go.
And he claims that there's context missing that can cloud the story, that this is an incomplete memo that doesn't tell the full story. And, you know, for a businessman, Trump seems to be very bad at PR.
Yeah. And that's what I don't understand.
That's kind of an understatement,
I
think.
That's what I don't understand about this whole thing, because it just seems to me that if you, I mentioned this yesterday, but if you're worried, if the thing that seems to be sticking to you is obstruction of justice charges, why are you doing something that is furthering the obstruction of perhaps of justice here?
Well, I think he's panicked, and I think this is a clear effort to undermine Rod Rosenstein, because I think the president recognizes politically there would be a firestorm for him to directly go after Mueller. Mm-hmm. And so I think by extension, he goes after Mueller because Rosenstein is Mueller's boss. He approves subpoenas. He approves budgets. He approves staffing decisions. So I think he's probably viewing this as the first step. And what's really surprising is just how the president has upset the whole national security apparatus in Washington. And I think people are concerned for good reason. When I worked at the EPA, I had national security clearance, and I cannot emphasize enough how careful we were trained to be with documents. When you went into a secure room for a briefing, you kept your cell phone outside. And it is religious fervor in terms of protecting classified material. And consequently, you know, once again, all norms are out the window. And I think the FBI and Department of Justice are just really, really upset about what this means for their day-to-day operations.
And I think, exactly. And I think also what is concerning is that that's been a concern since the beginning of this administration. This has manifested itself to see how bad it can get, right?
Yeah. And here we are just a year in, and it's like someone wrote, we're watching the Saturday Night Massacre in slow motion before our eyes on cable TV.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, the thing about the Saturday Night Massacre and subsequent events is I still think Nixon could be sitting in the White House now if it weren't for the tapes. We don't have that smoking gun, Judith, that we had there. We have stuff that people talked about, that they lied in meetings, they lied about meetings, but it's all pretty amorphous. And so the thing I worry about, frankly, is that smoking gun is not yet out there. Now, the reason that I think it's dangerous for a president to take on the FBI is the FBI knows great deals. I was watching one of the cable shows where they're saying, one of the participants was saying that they had talked to people who had been quizzed by Mueller, you know, when they had gone in, and they were astounded by how much Mueller knew that the public doesn't know.
1-800-323-9262 is our telephone number, 1-800-323-9262. We need $20,525 to make our goal. We only have about 50 minutes to do it in. Would love you to be a part of this. We need you to be a part of this. 1-800-323-9262. When we come back, we'll talk more about this issue. We'll get some letters in, and we'll also talk about other issues. We have Alan Chartok, Judith Henk, Aaron Pasitti. I'm Joe Donahue, and we need your help. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and you can also call us. I'll do it slowly. Last time, 1-800-323-9262. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Judith Henk, Aaron Pasitti, and we have some good news, actually, that we are just, we're trying to get to the, we are, we will.
We have
we,
to.
We will, we have to. That's right, Alan, we have to. We're getting to the goal, our lockbox goal of $1.5 million. We started off, I believe, needing something like $24,000. We are now down to needing $19,385. So we've done well in the last 10 minutes, but it's not good enough because we need $19,000. $385. We only have this is where the math comes in. We only have about 50
minutes.
Thank you. about 50 minutes to do it in. So there you go. So whatever you can do, $19,385.
Well,
we can do it, right, Alan?
Well, we can, but I always operate from a basis of fear. You know what I mean? And so I'm always afraid that we're not going to do it. And then the people rise up as one and say, don't be afraid, Alan. We've got your back. And Joe and Judith and Aaron, we've got your back. We'll make this happen because we love the show and we love the station and it's ours. And you know what? I've never thought it was only the money, because there are plenty of people who have a little bit of extra. I've always thought it was just, should I, shouldn't I, you know, will it take time? It'll take about a second and a half. So, you know, come on, everybody. Just make me happy.
Do the possible. Make Alan happy. All right. It's $875 now. $18,000.
Not fast enough.
All right, let's go. We got a lot of work to do in a short period of time. And don't forget, this may be the largest. This is $60,000 challenge, basically. Yes, it's been up for, but if you look at it right now, to make $60,000, we need to make $18,875. We'll never have anything like that. We've never had anything like that, and it's insane. So whatever you can do, you got to get that. 1-800-323-9262.
Come on, everybody. We're all in this together.
We have some letters. We got this from Wesley, who says, I've been waiting for some reporter to ask the Republicans the obvious question, which is, why wasn't this issue addressed in classified hearings rather than in a partisan memo?
Okay, so there's an easy answer to that, and I know Judith and Aaron will have something to add to this, but there's an easy answer to that. Trump is in panic over the Mueller investigation. The more mud they can throw into the water, that's a reference for you, Judith, the more mud they can throw into the water, the messier they could get it, the more they can claim that there's some kind of scurrilous, attempt to get him. By whom? By his own attorney general, his deputy attorney general, mm-hmm. who he appointed, right? Mm-hmm. And by by the FBI director, who he appointed, who he is now saying is scurrilous, in order to muddy the waters to say that the Mueller investigation, when Mueller finally lets us know what really was going on, was wrong.
It is mind-boggling to me that you have a situation where there is an action. And the action, this is the possible action. And the FBI says, don't do that.
Right.
And the Department of Justice says, don't do that.
Yeah.
And, at least from my ears, give really good reasons as to why you don't do it. And yet, we're doing it. And not only the president pushing this, but Paul Ryan, and the Republicans in this committee of pushing it, and for that reason, I just don't get that.
And but. Joe, I know I'm talking too much, but as usual. But one of the things that is so clear now is that Ryan and the Republicans in the Senate have decided that we call it partisanship, but that they need to do what is disgusting in order to preserve themselves in office. That's what this is all about. There is a time for politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, to rise and say this is wrong. In Vietnam, we know that they did it with Lyndon Johnson. They said, no, if it costs me everything, I'm going to protest all of this. And that is what I'm saying now. Ryan wants to be president of the United States. There's no question about it. And he's walking the thin edge of the razor blade trying to figure out which way to go. But the main thing is he hasn't got any guts. He's not showing us any ability to lead.
And Ryan doesn't seem to care about the institutional integrity of the Congress. I think we've got to go back and remember why these two intelligence committees were set up in Congress. It was in the 1970s, so they would have some very credible oversight of intelligence agencies. And these committees have historically operated in a very nonpartisan way. The chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, is it Burr? He runs away from TV, Richard Burr. He runs away from TV cameras. He wants to basically do his job, which is checks and balances. So Ryan doesn't seem to care that the institutional role of Congress and checks and balances is being preserved. I think Ryan only cares about Republicans surviving primaries from the far right, and more than anything, they want very young conservative judges appointed. And I think Ryan has consistently shown us he will sell his soul for anything. And when Mitch McConnell was asked about, even though the Senate is not a central player here, McConnell says, I think Ryan is doing a fine job the way he's handling this.
Aaron.
I think this is a case of the elite capture of politics, where politicians are literally installed by very wealthy donors, whether it's the Koch brothers or
Mercers.
Sure, mm-hmm. whomever.
Our local Koch
and
brothers.
And that, they know why they're there. And if that means holding their nose and doing something they might not agree with, they're doing so because their entire career rides on staying in power for whatever reason. And this is how you have such extreme polarization where it's impossible for the parties to come together on any issue. Because Democrats, too, it's not that it's only Republicans taking money, but it's elite money flooding in.
You know, big money for campaigns. Both parties have dirty hands.
Absolutely. Look at Cuomo with his $31 million already. Why do people give you $31 million? Ridiculous.
I don't know if this was covered in prior shows, but I know you talked about all the congressional retirements.
Yes.
One that really caught my attention was Rodney Frelinghuysen from New Jersey. His great-grandfather, his grandfather, his father, and he were all House members from that district in New Jersey. And I dealt with him a lot. He was fairly good on environmental issues. He's chair of the Appropriations Committee in the House. He is not running for re-election.
And he and all of the previous Frelinghuysens had the same nickname.
What was that?
What is it?
Frozenhosen.
Had not heard that.
You know,
anyway, he doesn't want to risk losing. I mean, I thought, why did he step down? I guess for family honor, because he has a very strong Democratic candidate running against him, and he is probably nervous about losing the family franchise in the Congress.
Speaking of nervous, we have we're doing well. However, we have $12,915 to go.
Hey, Joe, you know, I've been thinking about this.
What?
How about all those people who walk up to you in your hometown or on the street and say to you, and I know that they do, thank goodness you have this program. It's the only thing that keeps me sane. Think of if each person who was saying that or thinking that. So what would you do if you didn't have it? That's a good way to think about it, right? What would you be doing if you didn't have it? Would you be listening to some right-wing,
person?
Yeah, that's the right word.
Probably not.
Individual.
No, you might.
Classical music. You might. Whatever.
You might. But think of how unique all of this is, everybody. I'm not kidding. It's not patting anything on our mutual backs. I'm just simply saying, you know, this is where it is, and if everybody put a little and something in, we'd be okay. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. And for all those wonderful people who keep saying to me, sing it on the banjo. Come on.
Okay.
Let's go.
We'll save that for the fun drive. $11,240 now. $11,240 to make $60,000 challenge. $60,000 challenge.
So every time you put a dollar in, Joe, you're getting $6 back for the station.
You absolutely are. And it's really incredible. Everybody do what they have to do. 1-800-323-9262. We're going to change the topic. We actually have a couple more letters, and we'll do all of that when we come back. Keep those phones ringing.
It's getting close.
Keep going on. We're very, very close. 1-800-323-9. Do you feel a whoosh coming, Alan?
I feel a whoosh. I feel a whoosh right down in my feet because my feet are, you know, sort of frozen hosen.
1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back. Man, that is great music. It is The Big Takeover. They're playing at the Linda in Albany on Friday, the 9th of February, and you can find out more information by going to thelinda.org. Thelinda.org, The Big Takeover. That's good stuff. Thanks, Rob. That's great. Thank you for playing. All right. We have I'm going to do some number crunching here and find out our latest total. We're doing very well, but we need to keep going. 1-800-323-9262. Larry writes to us and says, this call for transparency is a false flag. We are a republic. We vote for representatives of the people and grant them the rights to govern in our behalf. When those in Congress who say, let the people see or let the people decide, they are abrogating their responsibility. Do we want a true democracy? Fine. In that case, Trump would not be president.
Well, I typically support transparency in government, but that's not what this is. This is so selective and clearly partisan.
Yeah, this was the memo was written by a congressional staffer, and it's going to omit a lot of important context. So the fact that it's being released is just probably by intention just going to muddy the water. And yeah, this is not transparency.
So
this
something that I've been curious about is Devin Nunes recused himself from the Russia investigation.
I don't understand this at all.
And then I heard that he recused himself, but his staff stayed involved. That's a little weird. And now why is he back in the center of all this? I guess the recusal has not held.
Did it expire? Go ahead, Alan.
Well, there was a very interesting article, I think in the Times, I'm not sure, because I read so much it all gets melded together, but it was saying that Nunes had now become the official flag carrier for the right wing.
Yes, the hard right.
Yeah, the hard right. And therefore, his past transgressions seem to have been forgotten as he now makes up a memo, refuses as the chairman of the committee to let the Democrats answer that memo. It's disgusting. And says that we have the right to put out material that is classified, but the Democrats don't.
Right, but who's the referee here? I mean, is this all just self-reporting?
He recuses
himself and then he changes his mind and jumps back into the middle.
Well, now, and remember, this is a guy who we caught running up to the White House
in the bushes.
Right, yeah, in the bushes, as I always say.
Now, I just want to point out at this moment that both Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer called for Devin Nunes to be removed from as chairman yesterday. Speaker Ryan said that he had his full support and he would not be removing him. But I mean, that does seem to be in a logical situation what would happen here when somebody is, for want of a better term, out of control.
Right, there seems to be no ethics referee in the House other than Paul Ryan, and we can count on Paul Ryan to consistently disappoint.
The fix is in. May I just say, we had a wonderful letter, Joe, from Cynthia, who wants to make the point. She says, well, she's a wonderful person, by the way. She's always been supportive of the radio station. But she says, let's not count on just the people who are listening to the roundtable and to the panel to give the money. And there's everybody else. That's right. And everybody else is giving the money, Cynthia. But here's an interesting factoid. I have to check this, but I think I'm right. More people are now listening to the panel than to Drive Time Morning Edition. Is that extraordinary or what?
They're late for work.
That's good.
They've got a few secret earphones on. Over to a state agency.
That's right.
I heard from a guy who said that there was a necker checker going around. We used to call that the lady at Hunter College who'd come around on the lawn and make sure that, you know, people aren't sitting too close together. But they would, who goes around and makes sure that nobody has earphones and listening to the roundtable. This person's writing me. It's extraordinary.
You know, necker checker. Oh, there you go. $4,920 is what we need. Can you believe it? $4,920. So
little time to get it in, Joe.
That's true. And we have to do it, and it's amazing. So there you go. 1-800-323-9262. If we make $4,920 between now and the end of this program in about a half hour, we will get that will open the floodgates for $60,000 in challenge money. $50,000 from Anonymous in the Hudson Valley, $10,000 from Emily Fisher, $60,000. So can we make basically $5,000 to make $60,000? Hopefully, yes. 1-800-323-9262. Allison writes to us and says, I would be interested in what the panel thinks of the idea that Trump cares, number one, about his family members and wants to protect them first. He cares last about the democracy. That much is clear. Don Jr., Jared, Ivanka, all could be involved.
Well, I would amend that. I'm not sure he cares that much about his own family members.
Right.
I think he only cares about himself.
If we believe the Michael Wolff book and Fire and Fury, there were several times in there where he threw them under the bus, right?
Now, do you guys remember Shogun? The great novel Shogun.
James Clavell.
That's right. And at one point, Shogun, the Shogun, the emperor, says to his son, his top son, please kill yourself. You're inconvenient right now.
Wow. That's
timely. That is... That's dark.
Well, I think we like the way we handle that very fair question is we don't even think he cares about democratic institutions.
No.
And then we jump the shark and say, no, he doesn't care about his kids. He only cares about himself.
I love that jump the shark. I'm going to use that more. That's good. I'll
Fonzie.
What'd you say?
Yeah, it started with Fonzie.
Oh, did he?
And then
it reappeared in Arrested Development.
And then a guy by the name of John Hines started this website about Junk the Shark moments, and then he became a millionaire because he sold the name of it to TV Guide magazine.
Yeah, it's the only time I feel old is when I have to explain that expression
When I worked at Channel 6 all those years ago, there was a great cameraman. We used to call him Muggsy. Who nicknamed me? He gave me a nickname, and he called me Shark Attack, Alan Shark Attack.
Well done.
All right,
might catch on here.
We are $4,000 away, and there we go. So let's move on to some other topics. We
wait. What's that phone number?
1-800-323-9262, or you can do it online, wamc.org. Don't forget that. All right, we got, let's see, I want to get to other topics, and for that I need to bring up, there we go. So we talk about the Russia investigation and then this president's dealing with Russia. Nikki Haley, who is the U.S. ambassador to the UN, renewed her attacks on Russia in a speech delivered Thursday to Republican lawmakers as the investigation into Trump's campaign reached a new level of intensity. Now, here's where you just have to scratch your head and say, what? Haley directly acknowledged Russian interference in the 2016 mm-hmm. presidential election, calling it, quote, outrageous, and saying the Trump administration is, quote, taking steps to prevent a repetition. She also said the Trump administration had been, quote, tougher on Russia than any other administration since Ronald Reagan. Even after the White House, and this is the key sentence as far as I'm concerned, even after the White House took a pass this week on imposing additional sanctions that Congress had requested by a vote of what?
Only three people voted in the whole Congress.
Right.
Yeah.
Almost overwhelming, yeah. And they rejected it.
Almost unanimous.
Now, I think we have to remember, gang, here's a question. What do Paul Ryan and Nikki Haley have in common?
They both want to be president of the United States?
You get... a triple gold star.
Thank
Terrific.
You, Alan.
That's
Extra
exactly
sauce.
Right. Remember, Nikki Haley is a politician, and she wants to be the first female president of the United States. I have no doubt about that at all. She speaks well. She presents herself well. And it makes sense that she would do it. Also, it does occur to me every once in a while that these Trump people are so nefarious that what they do is they throw three different things at you and say, pick one. We're tough on the Russians. We're not tough on the Russians. Now, there's this thing that's going around. Joe, maybe you could set us straight on this. That suggests that Trump somehow had a meeting with some of the top Russian...
not Trump, his staff.
His staff had a meeting. And tell us about that, Judith, because I only saw that fleetingly.
So some White House officials met with Russian diplomats in Washington recently. And the question is, what was the topic of the meeting? Why would they meet in Washington? I don't know if sanctions affects those kind of meetings, but I think the real story of the week is that the White House is ignoring the congressional law on sanctions. It passed by such a wide margin that even if the president vetoed it, they would have overrode the veto. And I don't understand how the Trump White House can ignore the law and not impose sanctions and host meetings with diplomats from the State Department and the White House in Russia in Washington, D.C.
Well, two things. One, Judith, is that I heard they weren't just diplomats, but I heard that they were the top spies, Russian spies. Mm. Now, I don't
Even
know
worse.
If that... What'd you say?
Even worse.
Yeah. So that's number one. And number two, on this question of the law, it's not a law, we all know, until the Congress overrides.
No. It's
they, no, no, no.
The governor, the president did not veto it. It is the law.
Oh, because he pocket vetoed it, you mean? Because
there was no. I don't recall him signing it, but I know it
is.
Well,
he did not sign it. He did not sign it. So the question then becomes: what would the Republicans in the House and the Senate do, confronted with having to override their own president? And I think I know the answer.
Well, they won't do anything, but the Democrats are making quite a statement by reminding people that Congress passed a law directing the president to impose sanctions on Russia, and the president is saying, we're so tough on Russia, we don't need those sanctions. And so he is in violation of the law. I assume there'll be a lawsuit in federal court very soon.
And remember, he's the same guy who talked about Putin and how he loved Putin in the beginning, and he thought Putin was going to be a great friend, and so now all of a sudden we're talking tough about Putin.
Well, he's not though. That's the other thing. Right. We haven't heard it from Trump, and when he starts talking, it's very different language. We have to hold and go to a break. Ray's standing by with news. We have about $3,000.
What's the number?
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. WAMC.org, $3,190 to make $60,000 in challenge money. Can we do it by the time we come back from break? We'll see. 1-800-323. You don't think so, Ray? You're skeptical? All right.
Uncle Grumpy.
Prove Ray wrong. 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back. I'll admit, we let the music play, which is great, by the way. It's fantastic music, so yes. I certainly don't mind letting it go. It's the big takeover. They're going to be playing at the Linda. They're going to take over the Linda on Friday, the 9th of February, thelinda.org. And the reason I was doing that was because we were $30 away from making the goal. And I was just waiting for the number to change because I knew that everyone in the building was on a phone. So... the number has changed. Are you ready, Alan, for the big total?
I am, and I just want to say I love the way she does that thing in the middle of her singing. It goes like, yep.
Yes.
She kind of sounds like Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, there is a...
raspy,
yes,
soul.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, remind me, who's Amy Winehouse?
she's passed,
no,
sadly.
She's passed, yeah. Right, she's no passed. I remember that.
Okay, we had a goal of $1.5 million. That was the lockbox goal. Remember, $2 million fund drive. The lockbox goal was $1.5 million. We are currently at $1,565,000.
Wow! Nice. Wow! And a great big hand to our friend from the Hudson Valley.
Now,
who marshaled our resources, right?
That's right. And now in a few moments, from what I understand from the front office people. The challenges will be added to the total.
You mean the 565 is not in counting the challenges?
No, it's 500. No, let's try. If I said that wrong, I apologize. It's $500,065.
Oh, I see.
500,065.
I got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as soon though that 60,000 will go in, and we'll have that, and it'll be pretty impressive. So now let us forget. I don't want to seem like we're ungrateful. We are incredibly grateful. No. We made our goal, and God, that is fantastic. Do you have your banjo with you, Alan?
Well, it's here, but it's not tuned.
Does that matter,
Alan? Do you know what the best banjo tuner is?
Okay, go ahead. I can take it.
I mean, I play banjo too, so this is coming from a place of warmth. A hammer.
The best banjo tuner is a hammer. Yeah, that's good. All right. You wanna celebrate, Alan?
I do. I want to celebrate. You know, but I got a bad back and a big old banjo here that takes a lot. I got to take it out of the case. I got to tune it. It doesn't seem like the right thing to do.
Okay,
then you got to listen to it.
All right, but you don't have to do it, or we can just go to something else.
No. You'll go do your thing.
We can sing.
Okay, yeah. We're going to do letters. We'll let Alan go. Maybe you can just father down a little bit so we, there you go. Okay, when you start to hear music, we'll bring them up again. All right. Jeremy writes, I think we're blowing it. Between the shutdown and the loss of 10% support in the generic congressional poll and the debacle of the five-Dem response of the State of the Union, new blood with a Kennedy question mark? I wish this program would recognize this bad trend and begin to discuss topics like can we win with Schumer and Pelosi and what is the Democratic message? How can we lose to this unpopular president?
Well, I did tweet, and by the way, feel free to follow me on Twitter, EnkJ, E-N-C-K-J. I did tweet that the Democrats made a big mistake not having a woman do the response to the State of the Union. I thought that was kind of tone deaf.
Tone deaf?
Yeah.
Completely
Speaking
tone deaf.
Speaking of tone deaf.
I hear
a banjo.
You hear a banjo tuning.
There's something in the background. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the Democrats' message can't be, well, whatever Trump says we're against. They have to put forth some type of unified, coherent policy.
And in fact, there's a lot of analysis that, and I am guilty of this, and I have to check myself often, is we really need to be talking about the problems with the Trump policies and not Trump himself. It's hard to do. I have to be more disciplined.
Well, it's a difference.
But it's the policies that are hurting people and hurting Trump voters.
And this is, and I use this phrase a lot because it really stuck with me, but the great historian David McCullough told me this. We spend too much time on right versus left, and we have to spend much more time focusing on right versus wrong.
Excellent.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, and that's, and it's hard. Yes. It is hard to get the politics out of it and to stay tuned into that. But there is very much a right and a wrong here.
Right. And people are, you know, I'm afraid people are tuning out. It just seems like a food fight in Washington. And the more people tune out, the more you get, people doing crazy things and not being held accountable.
You know how
Washington.
You tune politics? With a hammer.
Yeah. A bigger hammer. You know, hammer.
But, you know, the question is a very good one that was asked, and that is that, look, they decided that to make Nancy Pelosi into a devil, the Republicans did. Every congressman I talk to, and I talk to a lot of them on the congressional corner, always tell me that she is a great leader. She's been terrific to them. She sets the tone. She herds the cats. She does everything that she needs to do. And yet, the question is, will the Republicans succeed in basically defaming her to the point where people say we should get rid of her?
Well, some people are saying that. I mean, I agree. I think she is a great leader. I also think she's been there an awfully long time, and maybe it's time for some fresh blood, some new approaches, but they're not going to get rid of Nancy Pelosi, and I'm not suggesting they should right away. She should leave on her own terms, but they won't get rid of her because she is a phenomenal fundraiser for House Dems.
She writes me every night.
Yes.
All right. Is that banjo ready to go there, Alan? Oh, there you go.
Well, something's there.
Okay.
That doesn't sound right. I'm so sorry. Good, proceed with the discussion.
Okay. Let me go to Kevin from Melrose. Please take a moment to talk about the lawyers for Gates stepping down and why they may have to, or what they may have, rather, and you alluded to this earlier.
Yeah, I think that was on a break. The real fun in the show happens on the breaks, by the way, Kevin.
You know what? And just so you know, in my brain, I don't remember which is done which. So
you should make us not talk during the break.
Well, either that, or we should give a course in lip reading. Yes. Because people can watch it visually on our stream, right? And then they can read your lips, and then they'll know what's really going on.
So yep. Gates fired three lawyers who worked for Gates resigned yesterday, and Gates has a new lawyer, and that new lawyer has been seen entering and exiting Mueller's office quite a bit. And I would just remind listeners that Gates is Manafort's associate, and even after Manafort left the Trump campaign, after Jared Kushner told him you have a half hour to clear out, Gates stayed on and also stayed on during the transition and then became the head of a outside Trump surrogate organization. So he knows a lot And if we're reading the tea leaves properly, he is cooperating now with Mueller. Now, why his team of three expensive lawyers would quit over that, I don't know, but it's kind of curious.
Well, maybe they didn't get paid. But one of the things that I've been hearing is that what Gates knows is are things that Manafort, who spoke to the president, told Gates that the president said or that he said to the president. Mm-hmm. And that's why Gates becomes so important. Yeah.
Hopefully he wrote it down, you know, has notes and told like other Mueller. People. Like what we're learning is if you want to be a credible federal witness, as soon as something traumatic happens, tell three other credible people and take notes. Which is why most White House people never take notes because they don't want it to appear.
Well, Joe, what's that 1-800-323-9262 number doing for us now?
It is getting us. Well, every dollar that we make now is money that we don't have to make during the on-air fund drive, which will be Monday morning. And it starts with you and with Ray, and we are getting we made our challenge this morning, so that's been amazing and incredible, and it's going to be amazing. But we still have money to make.
So why don't we do something fun? Let's have some fun.
I'm all for fun.
What do we say in the next 15 minutes till the end of the show? Is that right, Joe, or am I taking a liberty here?
No, you're fine. Yeah, 15, okay. 14, but yes, go ahead.
In the next 14 minutes, let's make $20,000.
Okay.
$20,000. We can do that, right?
That's like fun.
I mean, yeah. That would be great. 1-800-323-9262. We'll show them. 1-800-323-9262. No. I'm afraid the banjo is untunable.
Oh.
Bring on the hammer.
All right. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. There's something comforting by just having you pluck
Though.
Strong.
I
kind of like that.
The soundtrack.
I'm just thinking of Pete Seeger as if I had a hammer right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what I would do with it.
Yeah, I'd have
Sorry,
in the morning.
Ellen.
The banjo.
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. You can also do it online, WAMC.org. I know some of you may be saying, and why I say this is because we'll be getting letters like, you just made your goal and you're still asking. Well, yeah, that's it. We have a $2 million.
We have a small amount to go, $500,000 or so. So that's what we have to make in the fund drive. And every bit we can cut off now, between now and the afternoon, now and the weekend, means less. And as I have often said on these microphones, and I get criticized for it, don't be calling me up saying, why are you on the air raising money if you can do something right now? Don't be calling me up.
The whole idea of the lockbox was so that we could stay with regular programming longer and that we wouldn't have to raise the money on air. Now, you say, well, you're on air right now raising money. Right, but we're still having a program. We're still talking about the issues. You still had Morning Edition. You still had All Things Considered. You'll have Northeast Report after this program and all of your afternoon shows.
Don't forget Food Friday.
Food Friday this afternoon, talking about Mardi Gras with Ray Graff.
Excellent.
So. All of that will be going on, but we want to keep that going, and so Monday we're going to suspend normal programming and make the money. Well, every dollar that we make now is money we don't have to make then, and take away all your shows that you want.
Remember the number, it's 1-800-323-9262. Now that's in C. We have to go to G.
Go to G. I think I'd rather go to somewhere else, but go ahead, go to G.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Everyone, 9262.
1-800-323-9262.
Bring on the hammer.
Very nice, Alan. Congratulations. Lovely, lovely. Yeah. Thank you very much. Well, we have all right. Let's get to some letters, and then we'll talk about, and then we'll go to some other topics here. Well, you know what? I'm actually going to, because the letters are very similar to what we just talked about, I'm going to just move on to other topics.
Okay.
And I do want to get to Puerto Rico because we have one of the foremost experts on that here, and I think it is an important story, which is the U.S. Says Puerto Rico lacked leadership and communication post-storm. Federal officials on Thursday blamed a lack of leadership, money, and communication in Puerto Rico for setting back hurricane recovery efforts in the U.S. territory. FEMA Deputy Regional Administrator, is it Asha Tribble? Is that correct?
I don't know.
Okay. Asha Tribble said the island's bureaucracy and the power company's inability to pay for supplies it ordered after Hurricane Maria slowed efforts to restore electricity. Nearly 500,000 power customers remain in the dark more than 4 months after the Category 4 storm, which destroyed two-thirds of the power distribution system, killed dozens of people, and caused up to an estimated $94 billion in damage. This is a report coming out from federal officials, and yet I'm certain no surprise to you.
No, it's unnecessary finger pointing. It comes after FEMA announced they were going to stop providing food and water to communities in Puerto Rico. There was a little bit of a backlash. They said, okay, we will. We always intended to. One of those bizarre things. The important thing is they're back doing that because there are a lot of communities that still don't have electricity. I will not defend the power agency in Puerto Rico called PREPA. They're terrible. I dealt with them a lot. They have the second most expensive electricity in the country, and they deserve some criticism.
I just want to point out that your area, as regional administrator, yes, New York and New Jersey, but also Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands.
Yes, sorry about that.
Okay, no, yeah. I just want to clarify for
listeners. So, you know, there's some truth to the fact that the power utility down there, it's a monopoly, by the way, it's a publicly run power monopoly, is very ineffective. But you know, Rumsfeld said you go to war with the army you have.
Yeah, what about the people?
Yeah, the people suffer. So, you know, there are still a lot of people without electricity. And so FEMA coming out with this statement is so unproductive. It doesn't help fix anything. They're just covering their, you know what, and the people continue to suffer.
Yeah. Joe, how are we doing on that $20,000?
I am checking right now, Alan. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Like you tuning the banjo, I am now tuning my computer.
Because at least you may get it right.
we added the other money there, so that's what I'm dealing with. Okay, so we need to make that $17,000.
$17,000.
Wow. We made three already. So 1-800-323-9262.
We only have 8 minutes to do it in. Ladies and gentlemen, Rocco Rizzo, our very good friend, checked in with a matter of major importance. Joining Aaron. Banjo players, how can you tell a banjo player has perfect pitch? Answer, she or he can pitch it into the dumpster without hitting the sides on the first try.
Good one. Haven't heard that one before.
Banjo players are awfully hard on yourselves.
And Deborah says, and she wrote a very good letter setting us all straight on the Russian visitors, but somehow it's not coming up. I'm so sorry. Do you have it there, Joe?
I will look for it.
Deborah Cody.
By the way, we're also being taken.
Oh, I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Russian visitors. Good morning, panel. Thank you for a lively, informative discussion every morning and great programming all day long. Nothing about the banjo, by the way. To clarify, there were three Russians, all chiefs of Russian intelligence services, including the KGB, who were welcomed in Washington despite two of them being sanctioned and barred by the U.S. in 2014. Mm-hmm. I would add there is no KGB anymore. They got another name for it. I would say that. They met secretly with U.S. officials, including the head of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, and we in the U.S. only found out it because Reuters news agency learned it from a Russian news agency and published it. Several days later, I believe, Trump decided not to enforce the sanctions Congress declared on Russia last year as required by law. That was confirmed by the Trump administration once it became public knowledge. If you're not alarmed, you're not paying attention. And that's from.
Wow.
Very helpful details.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the groundhog saw its shadow.
Even in Staten Island?
Yeah, welcome. 6 more weeks of winter. So,
How much money, Joe?
Well... I'm talking about a groundhog, Alan. Hold on. it's very important. We have 16-5 to go. 16-5 for this little mini spurt goal.
Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! Come on now, folks. We have about.
About
7 minutes to do it in. 7 minutes to do it in. Everybody into the pool. That'll be 20,000, which will come off of the 500,000. Hey, every little bit helps.
This is from April, who wants to talk to Judith for a moment and says, not a single mention of climate change in the State of the Union nor in Kennedy's Democratic response. This is alarming considering the sheer breadth of the challenge facing the planet.
Completely agree, April. And what struck me watching the State of the Union, I actually watched the whole thing and live tweeted through it, is understandably there's concern about this violent gang on Long Island, which the president seems to be fixated on. And it's tragic that those two young teenagers were killed. But the amount of time he spends on, what is it, MS-13 versus climate change, where millions of lives are at risk, is really astonishing.
But, by the way, Judith, you're absolutely right. There's no question what you just said is right. It is a false equivalency. However, I have to say that MS-13 is a terrible, terrible group.
I agree.
Of course.
Yes. I agree. But to take up that chunk of the state
the
Union,
of course
I think the whole point also is to sow fear and division.
Yeah. And, you know, the economic content of that speech was pretty weak in terms. I mean, he, you know, promoted
no
his
mention
tax
of
cut.
Deficit spending.
And, yeah. And, you know, his infrastructure plan, which he claims is going to have a lot of bipartisan support, is really just a very cleverly crafted privatization scheme for public infrastructure in terms of how the fundraising is going to happen. And I'm all for infrastructure development, but not under those contexts.
Right. And back to climate change, which I start every paragraph with, if this was truly a jobs president,
right,
far more jobs are in solar and wind and energy efficiency than coal. And his phrase of beautiful, clean coal was an oxymoron times three.
Yeah. And he keeps saying it.
Beautiful, yes. Clean coal. Right.
Beautiful, clean coal.
Which that, we know has choked the world.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. I do want to, there was one other story I wanted to get to in the
dirty water
2 minute that we have. Go ahead.
So you wanted us to talk
about the Clean Water Rule.
EPA repealed the Obama Clean Water Rule. I think what's important is EPA put on their website last week that in the first year of the Trump administration, Scott Pruitt's EPA repealed 20 major environmental regulations, and they're in the process of repealing another 47.
And just to clarify, in this particular rule, this one had not taken effect yet,
it was supposed
correct?
To take effect next week.
Okay.
And so Pruitt acted yesterday and said they're going to suspend the rule for a couple years and then spend the year working on an alternative, less environmentally rigorous rule. I'm sure that our great Attorney General Eric Schneiderman and Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey will sue on this. But what happens is then you don't get these clean water protections while the litigation volleying is going on. It is most unfortunate.
We're probably going to hold there, and we are out of time.
No!
I know. I just want to thank everybody. And so you know, we did indeed make the lockbox goal and met the challenge, which is incredible. So we can sleep a little bit easier tonight, knowing that we have that for Monday. That's all good. As of right now, we have $1,563,213 in the lockbox,
wow,
which will, of course, open up on Monday morning at 6 a.m. with Alan and Ray. And then, you know, hopefully we can do it in a day. And look, every dollar that we make over the weekend, every dollar we make right now goes into that lockbox and is less money that we have to make on Monday and get you back to regular programming that much earlier.
Unless we forget. Thank you, everybody.
Absolutely.
It's that simple.
thank you so much. We appreciate all the love and the support that has come in over the last several days and weeks as we've worked toward this major goal, and we've all made it together. Thanks to Judith and Aaron. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much. And Alan, talk to you soon, and we'll
Indeed,
be back
we will.
Right after this.